Heidi McBride is our MC. Heidi worked in the United States Coast Guard 8 years as a avionics technician and mechanic on MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter, earned her AMP license, used her GI Bill to go back to helicopter flight school, and then is currently flying the AW-139 in the Gulf of Mexico for Chevron. So, again, as I said, she herself could be a speaker all by herself. But let's bring out our MC and see the program you're here to see tonight.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for coming. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. I just have a feeling we've got some incredible women on this panel. And we're just going to kind of start down the line. Let them introduce yourselves, tell them a little bit about themselves. So without further ado, Lieutenant Charnel Pinson.
Yeah, not quite there yet. Hopefully soon. My name is First Lieutenant Charnel Pinson. I fly Blackhawks for the Wisconsin Army National Guard. I fly for an aeromedical evacuation company, which commonly termed medevac. I've been in the Guard since 2012, so approximately 12 years, but not all of those years have I flown for the military. I actually am a late bloomer. I went to flight school at the prime age of 30, so a majority of my military career was spent enlisted, doing something completely different, in no way, shape, or form related to aviation. I worked with ammunition. I deployed as an enlisted member, and then when I was deployed, I decided that I wanted to commission, not for really myself, but for the people around me. When I deployed, me and my coworkers, the people to my left and right, we looked around and we were like, wow, there are a lot of people that look like us that are in this position of leadership, and we don't see that back home. So at the behest of the people around me, it's always great to have amazing people around you to help motivate and push you forward. They were like, we really think you would be good in this role. And I was like, I don't know, guys, maybe. No, stop me. But eventually, after talking to my friends and the people around me, I was like, if we wanna see this happen, somebody's gotta do it. So I decided to commission. And while I was talking to the OCS recruiter about what my options were and what was available, I noticed that aviation was an option. Again, something I was interested in. I had looked at taking lessons while I was in college, wildly expensive, and I had like a whole degree I was working on. So I was like, I don't have the time or money for that. Skirt to the side. And I had kind of forgotten about it, honestly. And then I saw it again, and it never really occurred to me in all the time I had been working for this organization that I could also be doing something that I really wanted to do. So I decided to put in a packet to branch aviation, take the test, do what I needed to do, and eventually I got selected and was sent to flight school, and I've been flying ever since.
That's awesome. Thank you. And then moving on to Captain Meredith Porter, also in the Army. She has a really unique story. So tell us a little bit about where you got started, what really brought you into aviation and sort of inspired you into where you are today.
Sure. Well, my name's Meredith. I am born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
All right.
Good job. And I, as a kid, grew up sports, all the things that kept me engaged, and had zero inspiration in my life to go aviation or to fly. I remember flying on a commercial jet once and saying, this was cool. And then I kind of, as young teenagers do, I found interest in other things and kind of never came back to it. I, in the back of my head, knew that aviation was pretty cost prohibitive. It was not something that, it never even clicked to me. So I went to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and got a degree in biochemistry. The day I started college, I knew that's what I wanted to do. Along the way, my freshman year, I had made friends who were in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. And they exposed me to what that environment was like, and I said, cool, I'm going to enlist. Much to my mother's dismay, I enlisted in the Wisconsin Army National Guard the summer after my freshman year of college. Still not quite sure what I wanted to do. I had an enlisted MOS, and I went to basic training. And when I returned from that, I joined our ROTC program. There's this kind of weird pathway where you can go from never being in the military or being enlisted in the military and joining a school's ROTC program. And the product of that is you become an officer. Mm-hmm. Even when I joined ROTC, I didn't really know what I wanted to do as an officer. But one day a Blackhawk piloted by Wisconsin Army National Guard soldiers, flew into the University of Wisconsin Whitewater, and we got to interact. It was a medevac aircraft, one from Charnel's unit now, and that was the first time I got to be like hands-on with an aircraft. And I don't know what it was, but a switch flipped in me, and I was like, that is what I'm doing. There's nothing else in the Army that has called to me like that has. The 18-month flight school was intimidating, and the more I thought about it, I was like, that's what I have to do. There's just nothing else calls to me. So I commissioned in 2017. I went to Army flight school. I now serve as a soldier. I just came out of command for the flight company for the 1st of the 147th Aviation Battalion, and we support the air assault mission for the U.S. Army. It's kind of, Charnel does medevac. She'll talk more about that, I'm sure. And we move people, things, places, and we do so for stateside missions, federal missions, and kind of everything in between. So that's where I am now. I'm full-time. I do this full-time now. I went from like zero to full-time aviation.
100%.
Yeah, all in.
No, that's great. It's one of the things that I just kind of want to keep coming back to during this panel is like, so many of us get called into aviation sort of unexpectedly or from unexpected or not historical methods. You know, it's a really exciting how we find ourselves there. So jumping over to Piper. Piper is awesome. She is probably the smartest person on our panel today. I knew I was going to love Piper when she's like, well, I took a class on thermodynamics and fell in love with propulsion. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about you, Piper. Tell us about where you are now with your current company, what you're doing, and sort of what inspired you to get to where you are.
Yeah, so I'm Piper. I am an aerospace engineer. I currently work as a project engineer for Vertigo Aero. We build and develop hybrid propulsion systems for aircraft applications, so for a lot of electrified flight like Joby and other companies like that. So I graduated in aerospace engineering focusing on propulsion, and I knew that I wanted to do that pretty late in my high school career, I guess. I loved physics, I loved math, and I knew that I wanted to be involved in space. I wanted to be an astronaut. I grew up as an Air Force brat. My dad was a pilot. And it was just kind of, aviation was something that I loved and still love, obviously. So moving from that, I kind of was like, well, I would love to be a fighter pilot. I would love to do all of those things, be an astronaut, but it didn't make sense for me. So I went into engineering, and I love it. I love working on propulsion systems and working with the people that I work with. It's an incredible experience, and it's a great opportunity to meet wonderful people like everyone here.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you so much for being with us. And I love, Piper is probably at least compared to the rest of us, sort of at the beginning of her career, but she's just making leaps and bounds, you know, like she's taken a lot of chances, internships that have just propelled her to where she is, which I just think is fascinating and exciting. So Nicole, our keynote speaker from this afternoon, Nicole Bates, she is the owner and CEO of Rainbow Helicopters in Hawaii. And Nicole, you're such an inspiration to so many of us on the panel, in the audience. Tell us a little bit about what got you started. Did you always want to fly? Was it something you stumbled into? And what sort of got you to being, I'm going to start my own helicopter company?
Yeah, thank you. Like she said, I'm Nicole Badges, and you know, I always wanted to fly. I'm one of those, you know, that wanted to fly from being a little girl. And actually, I wanted to go to space, too. And I ended up getting into flying fixed wing when I was in high school, and then started flying helicopters, actually, during my undergrad. And, you know, I want to talk actually a little bit about, I think, take an opportunity. I've had a really incredible flying career, and I did spend 10 years as the chief pilot of my company, but I wanted to share a little bit about also being executive, right, in aviation, and that's really more what I do. I am a current instructor and check airman in the A-STAR and the R-44 aircraft, and I do fly about 100 hours a year. So I'm a current part of the flight leadership team, and I do backfill our chief pilot. But you know, there's so many different aspects of aviation, which you're going to hear as you hear the rest of us. And really, I've sort of found, you know, my passion in really being an executive in aviation. Mm-hmm. And what's cool, I own a tour and charter company in Hawaii. And what's kind of cool about that is, you know, I get the opportunity on a day-to-day basis to manage a maintenance shop, for example. I'm not a mechanic, but I know a lot about maintenance. I spend probably a third of my time in, you know, managing a maintenance fleet. And then also, of course, I am the current director of operations, so I do a lot on the operations side. Mm-hmm. And then there's also an entire sales and marketing and safety side. Mm-hmm. And so I spend a lot of time managing our SMS as the accountable executive there. And then also, I still love sales. I would tell you, I probably love sales and marketing just as much as I love the flying, really, believe it or not. And I wouldn't have really known that until, you know, I started my own company. So anyways, I think, you know, looking back at, you know, how I got started and wanted to start my own company, really, I wanted to create my own, you know, version of success. I've talked a lot about that today, but I really wanted to sort of take my ideas and make them a reality in aviation. And so that's kind of exciting. So I get to have my hand in a lot of different, you know, departments and sectors. And I find really my passion, you know, lies in that large leadership role. And I want to say one more thing, which is also, I'm on the board of directors for Vertical Aviation International, along with Stacy Sheard here. And that's another really incredible place to spend time. We might talk about that a little bit later, but also being able to lead and give time towards making a big impact in the industry. And, you know, we really need people, in my viewpoint, that want to dedicate and take time out there to do that, because that's how we can grow all these programs and things like that. So anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole. Now, I really appreciate you pointing out all the different aspects of the aviation industry is massive. There are so many sectors that you can be involved in the aviation industry and not necessarily be a pilot, but have huge impacts. And you know, you were just this past year VAI's chair. Director Stacy Sheard was also the chair at the VAI for a year and has been on the board for nearly 10 years. So tell us a little bit about you, Stacy. We know that you're a prior Army. We know you're a rock star. A lot of us look up to you. I, for one, certainly look up to you as a career mentor and advisor. So tell us a little bit about what got you to where you are now with your current company, your background in the military, and also a little bit about VAI and how it affects us.
Okay, well, as Heidi said, my name is Stacy Sheard. I grew up in Central California, where there's a lot of forest fires. So I used to look up in the air and want to be in one of those helicopters flying over my house. So that's pretty much, I think I wanted to be a helicopter pilot from a very young age. Didn't have a clue how to do it back at that time. There were no helicopter flight schools, so I joined the Army. I was enlisted, I was a Russian linguist for a few years, and then I got picked up in the Warrant Officer Flight Program, which is a great program for a lot of people to go in and fly. So I flew all together. I was in the Army for 11 years as an active duty Black Hawk pilot. I flew Black Hawks and Hueys, and when I got out, I had no idea what to do next. Like, transitioning out of the military is a super confusing time. And to be honest, none of the military branches really, they want you a career there. So the concentration is you concentrate on your career while you're in the military. And getting out is a huge transition. I mean, you have to think about a lot of things. So because of being pretty clueless on how to make that transition out of the military, not understanding it, I remembered that when I got out, I went and flew tours in the Grand Canyon in Las Vegas for a while. I flew Children's Hospital, Los Angeles, Air Ambulance. I flew some movie work. And about that time I was flying movie work, I found out about HAI, Helicopter Association International, represents all of the helicopter industry globally. And now they're known as Vertical Aviation International. But at the time, I presented some courses to some military people. There's only one other way to be better interrupted than that. So I presented a course to some old friends in the military over at Fort Belvoir and gave them a transition class and explained to them how to do it, how many hours you need, what it takes, what it looks like on the outside, to just kind of make it real for them, and did a little bit of officer and enlisted professional development. Mm-hmm. So in that class were some people from now VAI, the Vertical Aviation International. They were there and they asked me if I could do that all the time, every year at their event. It used to be called Heli Expo, now we call it Verticon. And so at Verticon, for about 10 years, I gave a military to civilian transition workshop on all the things I wish I knew before I had gotten out of the military, and how to prepare myself along those years. So I got involved, I think, early on, just out of pure cluelessness on what the heck I was supposed to do next. So that got created, and then after about 10 years, I joined the board of directors at now VAI, and I'm handed the torch of the military to civilian transition course off to a friend of mine, Heidi, sitting over there, who does an excellent job and took it to the moon. So it's an amazing course that's given for free every year to military members. It's absolutely free course every year with VAI. So I flew air ambulance for a while. I got picked up as a test pilot for Sikorsky. I was a previous Black Hawk pilot, so when I went to fly for Sikorsky, I had a lot of commercial experience at that time in civilian aircraft. So they hired me as a production test pilot on all of their civilian models, which was really great. Did that for a while, and then I went back to flying corporate because I did miss the corporate world. So now I fly for Fanatics.com, which is a large sports retailer, and they handle hats and baseball cards and uniforms and any kind of team shirt that you want to buy, you can go, and Fanatics.com probably runs the website. So I fly in the New York City area, and just flying has always been my main interest. I love to fly, but I've always loved more than one thing. So sitting on the board of directors with wonderful people like this to be on a board with, and lots of support, and the industry is very passionate. Vertical aviation is so passionate because we're smaller, and I think we're a little bit more tight-knit group of people with huge passions. Because vertical aviation consists of a lot of sectors of the industry that you don't even think of. There's firefighting, search and rescue, there's policing, law enforcement, there's offshore oil, there's unmanned aerial vehicles. There's so much out there. And I fly corporate, which is kind of, we do similar to what the jets do. We fly a lot of IFR, we fly dual pilot, but we just go shorter distances, and we do get to go home at night, so it's always nice. But sitting on boards and helping further the industry has been really important to me. I think I've been on the VAI board, it'll be 9 years when I finish my term, and because I can't get enough of boards and there's always a problem with the industry that needs to be fixed, I'm on another organization called the Eastern Region Helicopter Council that helps advance the infrastructure of aviation around the New York metropolitan area. And we work closely with the FAA and a lot of other entities to improve the IFR low-level routing, and especially for helicopters. But what's to come is air mobility, which is here. And we work in concert with Joby when we go testify. We go and we testify in front of New York City councils to help preserve the airspace, the low-level airspace that we're flying in, so that we can have future generations of low-level airspace, and these can be more accessible aircraft for everybody, more affordable and accessible. And we see that. Helicopters are pricey. The average person doesn't get to fly in it. I fly a billionaire for a living, but everyday people should be able to fly in these aircraft, and I think that's who's next, is Joby going to talk about how it's going to work out.
Yep, absolutely.
Lauren Hartline, Deputy General Counsel and Policy Regulator at Joby. You have a fascinating background. I was, as we were speaking, she said she started out as a health lawyer, a health specialist lawyer, and came to AirVenture Oshkosh as a health lawyer, not even interested in aviation but not knowing what was next. And so tell us a little bit about you, how you ended up and where you were coming here as a lost health lawyer, not, you know, lost, but a health lawyer, but a huge passion and interest in aviation, and how that background sort of brought you to where you are in such a significant role with an aviation company.
Thank you. I don't know how I got to be on this stage with this crew of aviation professionals. I don't know how to answer that question, but how I found my way into aviation, I am a lowly fixed wing pilot, but I am the daughter of a helicopter pilot who made sure that I went to general aviation aircraft and airports as a child all the time. So I've always loved aviation, but I never thought I could have a career in aviation. It just, I don't know if it wasn't visible to me or just didn't occur to me. I had dreamed of being a healthcare lawyer. I worked all the way up through law school. I got a job at the law firm where I thought I wanted to be. I was working in the practice group that I thought I wanted to be working in for the people that I thought I wanted to work for, and I was miserable. I was crawl under your desk miserable. And because I had worked for this my whole life, I had gotten there and I was pretty good at it, I had no idea what to do. Around the same time, I thought, all right, I got to figure something out here. I've always wanted to learn to fly. I think I'm going to do that now because at least I know that's something I want. I found flying to be a really empowering and consoling thing. I could only focus on flying when I was flying, and that gave me a lot of strength. And I thought maybe I could get a job in aviation. Recruiters would call and say, hey, do you want to work for another firm? And I'd say, yeah, but I'd like to work in aviation. And they said, you're a healthcare lawyer. That's what you're going to do for the rest of your life, which was pretty terrifying as well. I saw a job posting for a regulatory job at the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, and Pete Bunce took a chance on me. He said, come to Oshkosh, I'm going to show you what this is all about, and then make a decision on what you want to do. So I owe him for bringing me into the aviation industry, and I can't tell you how happy I have been. When I left the law firm, I went in to tell the partners I was leaving, and one of them told me, I can't believe you're leaving this job, you're going to be so bored. I have not been bored a single day of my life in this incredible industry, and I feel so, so lucky to be here.
Major Tori Snow, make sure I call people by the right. Tell us a little about yourself. You're currently in the Air Force, you're flying helicopters. You said whenever we were speaking earlier, you always dreamed of being in special forces, but you're currently flying Blackhawks and Huey. Are you flying both?
Huey's now.
Huey's now.
Yep.
Okay, but you're doing some amazing things. So tell us a little about who helped you, guide you from the mentality of special forces to where you are now, what you would say to girls who would be interested in special forces today, and sort of your inspiration to flying helicopters.
Yeah, so we kind of talked about my background with that a little bit. I joined ROTC when I was in college, and I had no idea that the Air Force had helicopters. I mean, I know that they fly jets, but I wasn't really interested in that. I was more interested in the special operations career fields. My timing was a little off. There were still some barriers for women going into special forces. Some of those were closed opportunities. And I actually had a friend in Special Forces that said, well, you know, if you want to have that close connection with the guys on the ground, go fly helicopters. You know, they're direct support for them. So you can actually, you know, have a hand in that, make that difference, and do something that, you know, is open to you. So figured out that the Air Force had helicopters that way and went that route. And, you know, I wouldn't change anything about what I did. I've had an awesome career so far. I got to fly for a rescue unit, deployed a few times, and did have that direct hand in some of those ground operations and supporting those guys. And then from there, I got to, you know, teach at the helicopter schoolhouse, kind of teaching the next generation. And now I get to work at TEST, where I'm flying anything from helicopters to jets and getting a hand in the eVTOL, some of the small UASs and everything. So it's been an awesome career. If I were to speak to, you know, young women now that had an interest in special forces, that career field has opened up quite a bit. And I think my message to myself back then would be, you know, don't take that initial no as your first answer. Because if you do, you know, you're just limiting yourself. There are going to be plenty of people that are going to tell you, no, you can't do this. But obviously from us sitting here on this panel, you know, the barriers have been broken down. And it just takes those people to take that step forward and break those barriers to open that up for everybody else.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree. There are barriers, but obviously we're sitting on this panel because we're overcoming barriers, you know, and we're working through it. We're not taking no for an answer, but we all need these people to get to where you are, to be successful. I'm a firm believer. You have to have people in your corner. It's really difficult to do it on your own. And if you're on your own, find your tribe, which kind of leads me to the next question. Like, I want to ask each of you individually, and you can, you know, jump in with the conversations, but who was that inspiration in your life? It doesn't have to be one person, but maybe a group of people, but who kind of was there to make that click in your brain that made you realize, I can do this. I can be a helicopter pilot. I can be an officer in the Army, in the Air Force. I can do this. Who was there to support you that made you really believe in yourself?
Yeah, so for me personally, the people around me are definitely my inspiration. Whenever I feel like, you know, maybe that's not the right thing, or maybe I'm not doing it right, the people to my left and right that come up and they say, hey, what you're doing is really awesome, or, you know, what you're doing is super cool. It's kind of like, I feel like a lot of us up here are probably pretty type A. We like to head like straightforward into whatever we're doing. And sometimes when you do that, you're just looking at the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And it's hard to sit and really look and recognize the achievement that you've already accomplished around you. Because me, 20, 15, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have seen myself in this position. And this was a goal for me. And so for me to now have accomplished it, that's a great achievement. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that achievement gets lost on myself without those people around me to be like, hey, you're actually pretty cool. And I would also say that the people up here inspire me. You know, whenever I meet other women in aviation and I get to be on panels or talk to other people or listen to other people who do what I do, that's also super inspiring and pushes me forward. Like, everything that everyone's done is amazing, and it really puts in perspective, like, I'm up here with these amazing people, so I must be pretty amazing too.
Well, you are amazing, Charnel, and we think you're a badass. We know you're a badass, which is why you're up here, because you're inspiring. And I think you make an excellent point when you talk about, we get so busy going after that next goal, that next goal, that next goal. Sometimes we forget to look behind us and be like, oh, wow, here I am. You know, I remember R-22 helicopter pilot Heidi. If you would have told me I'd be flying an AW-139, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico, I'd be like, really? You know, like, you know, I would sleep, you know, I wouldn't sleep, I wouldn't eat, I would do whatever I could to get to that point. And to turn around and look, to be in that position is exciting. And I think that we remind ourselves, you know, when we're facing like frustrations or like countering barriers, like to remember like how far we have come, you know, and really it takes people around us reminding us. So like all of you guys, you know, and all of us, you know, we have to be in each other's corner, not just as women in aviation, but as just friends and family, you know, our spouses, our parents, just being there for that person who's fighting for those goals is huge. And it's incredibly inspirational. So Meredith, so who was sort of in your corner was like, that really made you realize, hey, I can do this, I want to do this, and I can be successful?
Generally speaking, my family and the people that I've surrounded myself with just kind of know I do things. I was really big into sports and music and things that I took on, and I tried to be the best I could at them. Like I said, nowhere was aviation in that. Sure. Until it was. And I think my story is one of chance occurrences, which now define who I am. The chance friends I made in college who led me to the Wisconsin Guard. The chance helicopter pilot that I met along the way. The first time I saw a woman doing this was pivotal. She's sitting in the audience. She's going to hate me for mentioning it. Major Sarah Latza, she was the commander of the company that I later went on to command at the time that I was introduced to Army Aviation. And I guess like seeing, I'm a big believer in seeing it to be it. I know it's hard for people to wrap their mind around the concept of trying to target minority groups to get them into certain jobs, because I think it's a, people feel threatened. And I don't see that at all. I want people to just know that the opportunity exists, see it, see that there is someone that looks like you who does what you want to do. Yeah. And then you know that you have to accomplish the same things that other people do to get there. But for me, like, that was Major Latsa. Like, she was the one who was in the room. Yeah. She commanded a unit almost completely full of really great male soldiers. They're now my friends and, you know, people that I'm proud to have also served with. But seeing her up there do it, I was like, all right, cool. That is who I want to be when I grow up. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, right? but I guess she's probably the person I could tie a name to. That was the first time I saw myself and could tie a goal to it. And then, you know, just the other day, like 2 days ago, on Monday, I flew a Black Hawk into this event, into Oshkosh, and that was the first time I'd flown with a full female crew. I had four female crew members. Yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome.
I also had a fighter pilot female in the back, and Major Latsa, who, she's also a pilot, but she wasn't serving in her pilot role that day. I had an aircraft full of six women. And that was the first time I'd ever experienced that.
So a Black Hawk full of six women.
Yeah, a Black Hawk. but yeah, I guess just the chance occurrences are kind of how I ended up here. And Major Latsa is who I could tie a pretty bow on those chance occurrences with.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it really ties into what Charnel was mentioning too, is seeing people like her doing what she wanted to do. Seeing another female, maybe African-American pilot, somebody of color, somebody of a different race in the cockpit, not just smiling for a picture, but doing it. Flying that helicopter, landing it in, turning off the engines, climbing out of the aircraft, covered in sweat and dust. And, you know, you're like, if she can do it, I can do it. And, like, just the power of representation, it's huge. It is huge. And I'm a firm believer, you know, we'll get back to, like, what we're proud of, and I don't want to steal Charnel's steam, but I just think the power of really putting yourself out there and letting people see you do what you do and being proud of it. You know, you didn't hop, you know, this Black Hawk full of women is just, yeah, that's exciting.
It was awesome.
So the power of representation really is immense. So just keep doing it and keep putting yourself out there for other people to see and be that inspiration. So going on to Piper, again, you know, she is awesome. Tell us a little bit about your engineering degree. Tell us about what you went through to get, you know, to accomplish that, and the people that surrounded you that really made you believe, because getting an engineering degree, I'm sure, is no walk in the park for anybody. So you really accomplished something magnificent. So what really encouraged you during the tough times, and who was your greatest inspiration?
Some of my greatest inspiration was my mom and my dad. They're very big supporters of me, and like I said, seeing my dad as a pilot, flying all of these incredible aircraft, it was very influential and very inspiring. And then I've just been lucky enough to surround myself with some incredible people. Many fantastic engineers and pilots and other people in aviation, and they all have such a big passion for it that inspires me. Like, I have a passion for it myself, but seeing other people so excited about maybe specific things that I didn't know about as much, and I learned so much from everyone around me, and it's very enjoyable and inspiring, and kind of sometimes makes me a little nostalgic or, like, kind of emotional about it. It's like, oh wow, all of these people are so incredible, and, you know, every one of the women on here are so incredible. And I think that just trying to remember for myself and pick apart the inspiring things that everyone around me has. So, I mean, I think that it's hard for me to pick some specific people, but I also was very fortunate enough to have some incredible teachers throughout high school and before that and then after that as well. And throughout my engineering degree, it was just very nice to have some supportive teachers who inspired me and showed me that it was possible and supported me through the very tough classes and all of the tough times. But I think that everyone has an inspiring piece of them that I try to make sure I keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I think it really speaks to, like, teachers and professors and colleagues. Like, they have almost an immeasurable impact. It is huge. Just being believed in by even people that are a little bit ahead of you or a little bit, like, in leadership positions or even just one class ahead, looking down at the classmates behind you and saying, hey, you can do this. It's going to be tough. This is what I struggled with. This is how I got over it. And you can do it. You know, just keep believing in yourself.
and you can do great. You know, just having a professor or a teacher or a colleague or a classmate that might be one step ahead of the game, it's so important to keep encouraging one another, you know. So Nicole, obviously you've accomplished some incredible things. What would you say was the inspiration, and who was foundational in helping you have the confidence and the belief in yourself to really, and the tenacity to keep fighting and keep driving forward to get to where you are today?
Well, I also had very supportive parents. My mom's in the audience today, so give a little shout out to
Hi,
my mom.
Woo!
And I do have to quick shout out. My mom was my first passenger when I was a private pilot when I was like 18.
Awesome.
You know, she got in. She was willing.
Great.
Yeah. You know, so we have the picture. We landed, don't worry. but, you know, so I definitely had, you know, supportive family. That was wonderful. But I wanted to talk about something really specific, which is, you know, having someone or multiple people in your life, in aviation, that know that you know have your back 100% of the time, you know? And so I'm gonna do another little shout out to the gal to my left. So Stacy has been incredible, and you know, she has been a huge inspiration to me. But one of the things that's wonderful about Stacy is that she's a female in aviation that I know that I can call, that I don't have to tell her the whole story. I don't have to tell her everything. I just have to say, hey, and she knows, you know. And, you know, actually, you know, Stacy was, you know, one of the first people I met in vertical aviation many, many years ago. And, you know, we have grown, and as she talked about, we serve on the board of directors of VAI together and now become good friends. But she was quite farther ahead of me in her career when I started. And, you know, she really always inspired me, especially as a female in aviation. That's kind of the piece. I've had so many great mentors along the way that have served in so many wonderful capacity. But, you know, as a female in aviation that I can call and say, hey, this is the challenge, or this is what's going on. And someone that is just unconditionally supportive. And I think that that's really incredibly important. So thank you very much, Stacy. Yes, for being that person. And I wanted to say that, you know, if you have the opportunity to be that person for someone else, that stability can provide so much, because this industry is so challenging. You know, there's so many ups and downs. So many times you don't know if you're going to be able to make it to the next milestone. You asked about tenacity. You know, you don't know. And you also make mistakes, right? Like, we make mistakes. We trip up. We take the wrong path sometimes. We need to learn a lesson. And to know that you have, you know, people that are totally okay with that and like still support you 100% and still think you're the best thing, you know, even when you are not quite getting there, or I mean, you fail a check ride, or you don't get, you know, you don't make the promotion, or you know, whatever it is, you don't get business, or you don't get what you're headed for. When you have somebody by your side that still thinks you're number one, like, that I think has really helped me go, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Like, I'm okay. You know, I can keep going. So it's important to do that. And not only to be that to find that, but also be that for someone else, like I said. So
yeah.
Well, just jumping right into it, Stacy, like, who would you say was really instrumental in helping you become the person that you are today, and to make you believe that you really can, you know, get to where you are, become, do all the things that you did in the Army as a pilot and in the civilian sector, and to get to where you are today?
So when I was little, I loved helicopters, just loved them. And my mother gave me a book with all these helicopters on it. It was this big giant book that said 101st Airborne. And it was all these Blackhawks just smashed all over and all throughout the book. And it was just this gigantic book that I kept. And she knew I loved them, so she was number one, right?
Go Mom. So
when I looked, I never, like, it took me years to figure this out. And I was in the Army, and I was in the 101st. And the whole time I was there, it didn't hit me until I was out of the Army, and I was like, oh my God, she gave me a book of 101st. I served in the 101st for 3 years. Like, that is manifesting, that is focusing. Like, that's crazy, I had no idea. So the book, I mean, that's all it took. And I looked at that book a lot. It was just the pictures. I probably never read the thing. But it was all helicopters. It was mostly Blackhawks and some Cobras and some Chinooks and everything in it. It was just gorgeous. But I stared at that Blackhawk on the front of that book probably for years, from the time I was 11 or 12 years old till I left home. And I think I left that book at home, but that was what, I mean, eventually I got there.
Wow.
What was in that book is where I went. So it's crazy, the small little things that connect you. And, you know, it's true, like, in this industry, which is 95% men, it's very, you know, your challenges are a little bit different than most of, you know, your peers in the industry. And it's hugely important to connect with people and to have a tribe or a network or a small group of people that you can call up on the phone and go, hey, what's up? What's going on? I remember a call, like, there's a lot of calls, but I mean, there's a lot of calls because your life, you know, everyone's life is a roller coaster. Sometimes you're really, really up, and sometimes you're really down. And when you're down, you need those people to be able to call and go, oh my gosh, this is going on. And for them to tell you, to be your wall that you bounce things off of. And that's a tight little group, right? That's important. And I remember a good friend of mine calling me,
like we knew each other,
just out of the blue, and saying, hey, you know, I'm supposed to take the chairman of the board position next year. Well, it was less than a year. And I know this is, like, more vulnerable, but I'm going to be pregnant, like, fully pregnant. And the chair, the board chair, like, they've never done that. They've never had that. What's everybody going to think? What do you think about this? And the first thing I could think of is, that's amazing. Oh my God. And I had these images of you, pictures of you, you know, pregnant as the chair, doing your job and awesome. Doing it all. And having, I loved the image of being able to have the family and be the board chair of this huge international organization. And the next cover of the magazine I see is her full on, what, 7 months? In front of one of her beautiful helicopters, owning the position, CEO of a company and the chair, you know, basically chairman of the board, but we had to kind of rename it to board chair, just to, you know, to help us out, because I was a chair a couple years before you, and so we had to make some word changes just to make it a little bit more, yeah, it feels a little better.
Friendly.
Yeah, a little friendly. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, you're first, or you're different, or it feels funny, or you feel out of place. Like, maybe you don't, it doesn't look like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have those friends you can call and talk to.
No, so that's
awesome.
Huge. Thank you. Well, moving on to Lauren, and we are going to run a little bit out of time. So definitely want to hear your stories, but then I want to kind of jump in with a conversation about our barriers and our proudest achievements, because a lot of times our proudest achievements are overcoming a lot of the barriers that we face. So I'd like to kind of tie that in together. But moving on to, like, your inspiration, Lauren, to be strong enough to be the person that you are, to be on such a high position with Joby.
I also can credit my parents with a lot of the support. My mom somehow had the presence of mind when I was born. Her first words to me were, "You can be anything you want." I have no idea how she had the presence of mind in that moment to say that, but that exemplifies the way my parents have supported me throughout my entire life, and I can't be more grateful for that. I'm also really lucky to have a partner who challenges me and supports me when I need either of those things. He has my back, but also he calls me when I need that. Professionally right now, working for an electric vertical takeoff and landing company that is pushing the envelope on bringing quieter, clean, just safe, accessible transportation in a whole new way, things that weren't envisioned. Not that long ago, I am so inspired by working with a team that really asks me to level up every single day. And that is exactly where you want to be, someplace where everybody is just making you better at your career to make the entire organization achieve at the highest level every single day.
That's awesome. And since you're talking and you're with Joby, give us some idea about some of the landmarks that Joby has met recently.
Yeah, so Joby, folks who aren't familiar with Joby, we are here at AirVenture at Booth 190 by Cirrus and Hangar C. And we are creating an electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. We've flown over 30,000 miles on full-scale prototype aircraft, fully electric, zero operating emissions, very quiet. You can come and listen to the aircraft and hear what it sounds like. And then most recently we announced, we believe that electric is the right solution to sort of intercity urban transportation, and we're looking at future innovations in regional travel using hydrogen. So we announced recently that we accomplished a 523-mile flight on a hydrogen demonstrator. Wow. So it's a really fun place to be, and it's a really exciting place to be. We're in the fourth of five stages of type certification, so working on commercializing in the not too distant future.
That's huge. That's very exciting. All right, moving on to Tori. Tell us about you. Who has really been inspirational, making you the strong person that you are, and who's currently in your life that's keeping you like, you can do this, and pushing you forward?
Well, keeping it on theme for the night, my family has been the biggest inspiration. And it's not so much about, you know, constantly reiterating, oh, you can do this, you can do it. It's a lot of not saying you can't do this, you know.
Absolutely.
When I was growing up in second grade, I said, you know, I want to be an astronaut. I said, my parents said, okay, what do you want to do about it? I said, I want to go to space camp. They said, okay, go to space camp, you know. And when I said I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy, I said, okay, apply to the Air Force Academy. You know, we're not going to tell you no, you can't do anything. So they've always had my back. If you ask my brothers, I don't think they would admit it, but they probably tell people I'm the coolest person they know.
Yeah.
And so they have my back all growing up. And now I'm lucky, my wife is that person now. You know, she asked her to come out to the air show, and she said, oh, you're speaking on a panel? Of course I'll be there. You know, that's awesome.
Woo!
And it seems to be kind of the theme for everybody, is that those people that are closest to us are the ones who really just have our backs. They have that support. They believe in what we think we can do and what we know we can do. And those are the people that we really are able to lean on. And I can't emphasize that enough.
Absolutely. I would just like to reemphasize the people that are closest to us. And please keep this in mind for your family members, your children, your friends. The people that are closest to us can build us up the quickest and pull us down the quickest at the same time. So if somebody has a dream, support it. And if maybe the dream is beyond their grasp or whatever, they perhaps they have a physical thing, a restriction that won't allow them, there's always other things within that industry that they have a passion for that they can do. So I would say always push each other forward, never pull each other down. So moving in, we have just a few more minutes. Let's talk about some of the barriers we face as women in this aviation industry. What's your proud moments as an aviator? And I don't want to ask you to keep it short, but I'm trying to keep it. Just kind of summarize, like, what are some things you face that you overcome? And how has that affected you and your confidence? And what are you proud of as you've accomplished as a female in this industry?
Okay. I will be concise. So as leaders, we have failures, and it's not our failures that define us. It's
yes.
How we continue to move forward to find successes from mm-hmm. those failures that really makes us what we are. Mm-hmm. And as far as barriers, you know, there are a lot of obstacles within that some of us have talked about on this stage already, but I would say the biggest barrier for most of us, and certainly for me, is myself. It's every time I'm going to do something and I think to myself, maybe that's a reach too far, or maybe that's a little more than you have in you right now. And it's from what we were talking about, the inspirations, the people around you that keep telling you, like, no, you're doing great, this is awesome, that continually reaffirm what you're doing, that really makes the barrier diminish. It really makes it crumble. Mm-hmm. And so, like everyone has been saying, the people you know and love, when they are doing something and they're very passionate about it, make sure you voice your affirmations to them so that they can have that
that barrier of self-doubt just crumble around them and continue to move forward, because they will do great things once that happens. And as far as proudest moments, honestly, my proudest moment is, a lot of people feel like I accomplished A, B, C, which is amazing. But for me, those things are more, they're me things, but it's not the reason I did this. I did this so that other people could see, kind of like Meredith was talking about, that it is possible and that it is attainable. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's just doing, it's simply doing my job. It's doing things like this, like being able to speak to other people. Earlier this week, I mentored with the Girl Venture Camp all week. Those are the things that are the proudest moments for me in aviation, is when I get to give back to people that are trying to come into it or want to know more about it. You know, I'll have personal accomplishments and feel great about those, but I truly feel the most fulfilled when I'm giving back to the people around me.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you. Woo! Go Charnel.
That's hard to top. Yeah. Things that I'm proud of, all of the accomplishments that I'm sure anyone in this audience, male, female, of any background, like my flight hour milestones. I recently achieved my private pilot's license in an airplane I'm a commercial helicopter pilot, and like I'm doing new things. I'm trying new things. It was fun. Airplanes are wild. My first solo was at 800 plus hours in a helicopter in an airplane.
Wow.
But
it's so weird. You have to keep going fast at the runway. I'm like,
we're so bad. Once he's like, are you afraid of the ground? I'm like, I just want to be slow as I make my approach.
And I don't want to go there. I want to
land on the taxiway because I can.
I just sidestep.
Yeah.
All of the things that make anybody in the aviation industry proud have made me proud. The experiences I've been able to share, being a commander of a flight company, of a mission focus, I commanded 15 helicopters and 70 soldiers. Wow. And That was the pride of my life. I will tell people that forever. But in doing so, we recently supported an exercise where the exercise is focused around training joint tactical operators, the people on the ground that call for airplanes to come do cool things, right? They're super critical in our warfighting capabilities. Mm-hmm. They are members of our special operations community. They have a really niche job. That's not me, but having been called to train and support them. And in doing so, we executed a mission, and the mission went really well. As a flight lead, like all these things that as a pilot, I was like, that went right. We hit our time on target. We did everything we were supposed to do. We got back. One of the operators said, I'm requesting this exact team to support us for the rest of the exercise. Awesome. No other pilots, I don't want anybody else. I want these crews. And I look around the room and I was the only woman. We're in this, it's like this tactical tent. It was very warm. The air conditioning was lacking. And in a room full of men who I admire, who I like, I respect the heck out of them. I was the only woman, and at that moment, I'm like, I'm equal. I'm as flight lead executed what this group of people needed me to do, and that was kind of the mix between commander, pilot, Meredith, just feeling really good about where I was in my career.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you.
That idea of, oh, maybe this will impact me forever, hold me back from trying anyway. And then just trying and continuing to try and having people that support you and doing all of that and being able to recognize for myself, wow, I'm proud of myself for doing that and for getting my degree, for finishing all of those quantifiable things, but even just as a whole being here. I am happy to be on this panel. I'm happy to be everywhere that I am. And I think that getting over those barriers of being like, wow, maybe this will stop and I won't be able to continue. And getting over that doubt was something that I'm very proud of on a daily basis, as it's a continuous problem. But
that's huge. I would have to say that most of us have done something in our lives that was a huge mistake and could very well be a barrier to moving forward. And to just that example, like we've all done stupid things. But push forward, get over it, be a better person, make that choice to keep going, don't let it drag you back is huge. Yeah.
Really huge.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Nicole, jump right in there.
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I started Rainbow Helicopters at 27. And so looking back at that, you know, there was, you know, a lot of challenges around credibility about being young, right? And so there was a couple things going on, right? 27, in a male-dominated industry, all of that. Hard, you know, big financial barriers to get into the business, all of that type of thing. But when I look back on that time, you know, it's like almost like I had more baggage at 40, you know, than I did at 27 because I had such a childlike outlook. Mm. And so I remind myself of that often. Mm. And so, I mean, I had one R44 and me, and I parked that in front of the largest helicopter company in Hawaii as neighbors and, you know, opened my business. And, you know, I was so busy, I didn't even notice them, you know? And it's like, how many times do I, now they're like my biggest competitor and, you know, and it's like, how many, I spend way too much time thinking about them before when I had, you know, zero credibility or anything behind me. It was like, I didn't even notice them, you know? And so I just wanted to share that in general. Yes, we have barriers as women and all these other things. You know, young, made a mistake, you know, don't have the money, all of that stuff. But one thing that I've seen over 13 years of owning my business and also employing a lot of people that are trying to meet goals, one thing that I have seen is that noise, somehow you have to figure out how to not internalize that noise. Because what I noticed over time is, you know, what you're hearing on TV or what someone says to you awkwardly in a conversation that you didn't expect or some subliminal message that you got, if it's negative, most of the time it's not accurate, right? Most of the time it's not accurate. And if you allow that to come in and start telling you all the reasons why you can't do something, you're gonna talk yourself into not doing it, right? And so what I try to do is, you know, when I think about the barriers, whatever it is, like I said, I try to go, you know what, okay, maybe that is a little accurate. Maybe it was hard when I was young. Maybe this is a really male-dominated situation, but you know what, I'm totally capable, I'm totally competent, and all of that, it's news, I guess, but it really doesn't matter, right? What matters, right, is that I'm putting one step forward and that I am confident. What matters is that I'm giving to other people and giving back into the community. What matters is I'm trying my hardest, I'm giving my best. What matters is that I'm honest. And if I'm doing all of those things, that is a recipe that will succeed. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if there are barriers. Mm-hmm. And I'm so appreciative to kind of try to always continue to go back to that, because the barriers are only as big as you make them.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you, Nicole. That is amazing. All right, jumping over to Stacy.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what I'm most proud of, I think, is that little girl in school that was bad at math would never imagine that she would be here.
Oh, yeah.
Loving flying helicopters, loving the job. Like, I love the job, right? Yeah. And that's the goal. You live one life. You need to be happy. Find a way to get yourself to happy, whatever that looks like. And you need a team to do it. So find those people that are thinking the same way you do and that are gonna back you and support you and push you forward even when you don't feel like getting up out of bed. Get up every day, dress up every day, and go out and find what it is. One little baby step at a time, go out and get what you want, but find the job you want, do it. Because that little kid would have never, ever imagined she would be here. And I love it.
Yeah,
and you
awesome.
Should love it.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's huge. Thank you. All right. All right, Pipe.
I just called you Piper.
I'm sorry.
That'd be an honor.
Lauren. Lauren, tell us like what some of the barriers you've encountered, what you've overcome, and what's grown you and taught you, what you've learned from them.
So on the theme of making mistakes, I probably make 100 mistakes every day.
small, big. And my better half, who was my flight instructor, has this saying that I find very helpful both when flying and also in my personal and professional life. He says it's all about the recovery. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, a lot of times, as a fairly type A person, I can sometimes dwell on what went wrong and yep. how did I let this happen and what do I, instead of focusing on the only thing I can do in that moment, is figure out how to move forward mm-hmm. and what the best case scenario I can make. You know, if you have an emergency, if you have a, you make a mistake when you're flying, you have to fix it. You have to figure out what to do to keep flying the airplane, keep flying the helicopter. I don't have the privilege of flying helicopters. Keep flying the airplane for me. Or at work, you make a mistake, you've got to figure out what the recovery path mm-hmm. is. And so I find that really helpful when I find that I've made a mistake or I've come up with a come across a barrier. One of the things that's been proudest in my career was having the ability to serve on the Women in Aviation Advisory mm-hmm. Board. And the board did an analysis of the barriers that impact the recruitment, retention, and advancement of women into our industry. But the heart of the board's work was finding barriers that impact our ability to bring all talent into the industry, things that just don't help us grow a successful future. Mm-hmm. And we've also issued 55 recommendations to industry, to Congress, and to the FAA on how to address those individual barriers. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, the report has a barriers timeline that shows the things that impact someone's career across their life mm-hmm. and the things that could be done to knock down each of those barriers and bring more talent into aviation, more women and more talent broadly.
That was excellent. Thank you. All right, Tori, barriers, inspiration.
Meredith really hit on it with the self-doubt. It's probably been the biggest barrier. And one of those big realizations that I had recently was the value that I do bring, yes. right? And reminding myself of that. I've been lucky enough to work in test where I am the only female flyer in my office and I am the youngest flyer in my office. I work side by side with, you know, active duty who are getting ready to retire. I work with civilians who are working on their second retirement. Mm-hmm. They just have thousands and thousands of hours in the aircraft. And they've come to me for questions. And that's really solidified that, okay, I know what I'm talking about. I have experiences that bring value, you know, to this arena. And that really helps remind me of that every day to kind of break down that barrier of, we can, you know, call it imposter syndrome, of that self-doubt, and just seeing that other people value what I can bring to the table, that really helps knock that down. Proudest moment in aviation. Happened in Afghanistan. I was actually doing an article for PA on women in the military, and they published it online. You can look it up if you want. Please don't. and I had a father reach out to me on Facebook, and he said, you know, thank you for doing this. My daughter has always wanted to be a pilot, and she's always thought that that's a job for men, right? I try to tell her, no, women can do this too. And she just comes back with, nope, that's boys only. That's not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, I showed her this article and now she actually believes me that she can go be a pilot. So hands down, that was my proudest moment in aviation. No,
that's huge. Just realizing the impact that you have on people is huge. Turning around and realize where you've gotten to, like Charnel was saying, just the representation, seeing where you've gotten and realizing the people behind you that are following in our footsteps. We just got to turn around, grab them by the hand, and drag them right along with us and say, you are capable. You know, it's huge. And self-doubt is something I think all of us deal with, whether we're men or women. All, by the way, thank you to all the men that are here, who are here supporting all these women in aviation. Because you are our advocates. You guys are there beside us. We're all in this together, and we want to see, obviously, more women. Also, all the young men that want to be in this industry who think that they can't. We're here to tell them that they can. And to do it together. So we have just a few minutes for questions. I'm sorry to take a little bit too long, but do we have any questions in the audience? And we do have Chris behind us who is receiving text message questions if he wants to bring those forward.
All right, our first one is, do you have a favorite flight you have taken that stands out above the others?
Anybody want to answer that? Oh,
Stacy has got a good one.
Did you have a favorite what?
Flight. Favorite flight that you've done that stands out above the others? When you flew over your mom's house.
Oh, yeah, okay. You asked me that before. So my favorite moment was flying over my house in Central California and waving to my mom as, you know, and basically hovering, high hover, and just staying there. It was a cool job. It was a corporate helicopter. It was a Bell 430. It was really nice. And yeah. And so it was just a rare moment that she would ever. I got to fly her once too.
Oh, that's
when
cool.
I was doing tours in the Grand Canyon. She came and I got her on for a tour. So yeah, waving over that house I grew up in where I used to watch those helicopters fly over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, super cool. Oh. I know, that was really cool.
Any ladies that want to jump in with like fly that really stuck out?
Dave,
I have two for the same reason. My husband and my sister are both captains in the Army. God bless my mother. She never went, from the day you told me don't go to meth to now she's so proud of her, the kids in her life who went this pathway. But I had an opportunity to fly my husband low level and he gets motion sickness. So he's in the back of my aircraft and we're flying like right over the treetops, which is the best part of flying helicopters, by the way. It is awesome. So he didn't throw up, but it was a really fun flight. And he almost threw up. And then I had an opportunity very recently, my last day of command, I got to fly my sister, again, captain, and we flew a flight up to Minneapolis, went and got like dinner and just an opportunity to spend time and share this with the people I love.
So I had several times where I thought, you know, maybe this isn't for me. And that's a valid thought, you know, there are people who do think that and end up, you know, choosing the right path for themselves. But I got out of that by speaking to a lot of people and really seeing, you know, end game, what is this going to be like? Is that for me? And deciding my own path from there.
Absolutely. I think you bring an excellent point, talking to other people about how you're feeling. Like so many times, especially as type A people that are like super goal-driven, when we have self-doubt or we struggle with something, we think we're the only ones. And so having the humility to be like, hey, can I talk to you about what I'm struggling with? 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh yeah, I have the same problem. 9 times out of 10. You'd be so surprised how many people share your struggles and share and can share in the way to overcome those struggles. So I mean, I think that's huge, just bringing it up. Anybody else want to bring it? Yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
I had a moment where I was trying to make a career choice and I was really unsure what to do. It was a big leap. I was pretty scared. And my dad said to me, you're too young to be comfortable. And I don't think that this is an age-dependent piece of advice that he gave me. You don't always have the ability to take big leaps in your life. I recognize that. But if you do and you're unhappy, you can undo things if you need to. Don't let complacency, don't let you hold yourself back from making a change because it might be difficult or uncomfortable or you're unsure about where it's going to take you. And I think about him saying that all the time whenever I'm wrestling with whether I need to make a change or whether I'm struggling with something. I don't want it to be my own fear of discomfort to be what doesn't let me move forward.
Sure. I mean, that's probably something that tons of people really struggle, the fear of the unknown. Without just, they're comfortable, they're afraid to be uncomfortable, and that fear is crippling. And there's, you can break down so many incredible accomplishment to break down that wall of self-fear and just jump into it. Just like Nicole was speaking this afternoon about just show up. You might be scared to death, but show up, get dressed, be there, and act. You know, it's really powerful. Anybody else? Go ahead.
I also wanted to just talk a little bit about uncomfortability in the sense that because I own a business, I've had lot longer periods where I've been uncomfortable, but I couldn't easily get out. Mm-hmm. And I in fact have had seasons and or years where I kind of didn't really like my business, which is a little wild to say. But because it was my business and I like, that is like a whole nother ball game. Like, what am I gonna do? Shut it down, you know, because I'm uncomfortable or I don't like X, Y, Z, lots of different things, whatever it is, culture, regulatory problems, financial, whatever. it was like really deep thoughts. And what I wanted to say is, because I couldn't just pivot easily, it forced me to stay for the long term. And culture is one thing I really struggled with a long time, was building a really great culture. And it forced me to really change and grow. And so I wanted to just share also that if you're uncomfortable with something, it's really important to time out and say, do I need to shift? And you know, you gave a great example of, yes, I need to shift. Or do I need to stay? Right? And that is really, really important in a lot of aspects. Like, do I need to stay? And is there more that I need to learn? And that was sort of my story, which was, you know, I kind of stayed despite of myself. And now I have more than one instance of this where I was really not good at something, naturally not good at something. And I am now like a 180 where I'm really good at something, and now I'm able to help others be good at something. And so I think that that's like a really great thing to pause if you're uncomfortable and figure out what it is you need to look at or move.
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the things that's profound is that if you're really bad at something and you get good, you understand how to get good, which means you're now really good at helping others get good at what you were bad at and what they may be struggling with. Charnel, you said you had an example.
Yeah. So for me, I went into aviation with zero aviation background, didn't know anything about an engine, a helicopter, how do they fly? I don't know. I was in school. And let me tell you, I sat in systems class and I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, you gotta learn about the engine, the electrical system. Oh, this is what the rotor does. Let me tell you about the 8 million functions of the DC and EDECU. Like, make sure you memorize that, because you're gonna have to tell someone what it does when they ask you in a verbal exam. Like, you need to know this. And a lot of people go in, they have a little bit of background, or maybe they came from like maintenance, they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, what is that? Like, I don't even know what that is. What are we talking about? So definitely I feel like the learning curve and learning things that I just had no background or experiences as a full-blown adult, I was like, what am I doing? And then when you get back to your unit, you know, it's a little bit better. You feel cool. You're like, yeah, I got the wings. I'm flying. And then you meet with the IPs who have like thousands upon thousands of hours of experience. And they're like, do this thing. And you're like, okay. Or they show you something new. Like, oh, so now you're going to learn this new task, how to hoist. And you're really bad at it at first. So you just, and you're with someone who's really good.
Really, really good.
So you're like, how am I even here?
It's like learning to hover for the first time.
Yo-yo.
Then the instructor takes it.
Yeah. It's like, straight up. And you're just, you have those moments where you're sitting with someone who's really good and you're really bad. Yeah. And you're like, what am I doing? But in the end, you know, those people recognize that they were where you were. And they tell you, they're like, hey, you suck today. Not gonna lie, you were really bad. But I was really bad once too. Yeah. And that's really what it is. You know, you have moments where you're like, this is crazy, but then you have, again, the people. It's always the people that are like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, like, if we were an exam, that would be unsat, you're not going to the next round, but we're not there yet. This was your first day.
Training.
So maybe just relax, think back on how you can improve and come back tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are out of time. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you to these panelists, these amazing women who joined us today. Such an inspiration. So thank you again, everyone.